the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, fall away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that was the giving of the law to Moses, God used angels to do so, and every transgression and disobedience did receive a just recompense of reward. In other words, if you did wrong, then you paid for it, and if you did right, you were rewarded. If that word is true in the Old Testament, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? So Jesus told us about another way instead of the way that Moses had shared, the way of the law, the way of commands, the way of obedience. There's another way you can be right with God, and it's a better way. The way that angels shared was the way that servants would share, but now the Son, in these last days, God has spoken through his Son, and he told us about the gospel, good news, that if you can't do it by law, you can do it by the gospel. You can do it by equity. That is, that God would not be unjust to forgive a man who was a sinner and to give him, if he believed that the blood of Jesus was shed for his sins, and if he believed that Jesus laid his life down for him and would now live in and through him. God also, verse 4, bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. It's not something we desired, not something we expected, not something we understood, something God wanted to do. For unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come. No angel will rule, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what's man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you visitest him? In other words, what are you and I as men, mere men? We're lower than angels. We were told to be obedient, but we weren't. Or the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that you did visit. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So everything that was ever created was put under Jesus' feet. So Jesus, as the Son of God, is not a creature. He wasn't created by God. God didn't create Jesus. Jesus is God. So he's the Son of God because they're in relationship. Relationship is what creates your nature. Your nature, being created by God on the left hand, is recreated by relating to God on the right hand, so that you have a new nature or a new creation. So the relationship that you couldn't have under the law because you weren't perfect, you now can have because Jesus is perfect for you, in you, through you. And that's, you don't have to believe that, but you may believe it. It's a possibility for you to believe. For me, that's a certainty. I know that I'm perfect. I know that I have no sin because of my faith that Jesus not only died for me, but now lives in me to perfect me, even though I don't see it and you don't see it. I don't want to see it. I don't care about seeing it. I just believe him. Now, how did I get that? Not through anything human. I never figured out how that worked, nor do I care about it. I just simply read it, heard it, believed it, and now that's so for me. That's my testimony. You have your own. If you came to this by your brains, you didn't come to it. If you came to this by your good works, you didn't come to it. The only way you can get this one is to be passive absolutely doing nothing, indeed doing all evil. The only way you can qualify for Jesus to do his gospel for you is to be evil. I know a few of you are, as I was, but God says all of you are. So I don't know if God's telling the truth or not. It's up to you. But as far as I'm concerned, you're all evil. Apart from him. But in him, if you believe that he did his good work for you, not for himself, if you believe he died for you, if you believe he was buried for you, if you believe he rose for you, if you believe he ascended for you, if you believe he now reigns for you, if you believe he wants to be your bridegroom and you to be his bride, if you believe everything that he has done and said, that it was all done for you so that you, who would have perished otherwise, could now have everlasting life forever and ever, going above the angels. If you believe that, blessed are you. I believe it. And the reason I believe it has nothing to do with you. I believe it for me. Now, that's my own belief, but I'll tell you something. I didn't do it. The reason I believe that is not because of my thinking or my doing or my non-doing or anything. It has nothing to do with me. I heard it long before I believed it. So faith comes by hearing. I heard it, and I paid attention to it. I heard what it said. Jim, you're no good. That sounded pretty correct. But I wasn't certain. I knew some other people I was better than in my thinking. But he said, no, you're the same. As a matter of fact, you have a log and they have little specks. Seems like to me they have the log. I've got the specks. But one day, don't know how, I just believed that. I suddenly believed that I was not only wicked, but more wicked than Peggy. That was to be a joke. And I realized that there was no good in me. There was no understanding in me. There was no advantage in me. There was no nothing. I was an absolute, vain, worthless nothing. Anybody else ever come to that? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Because there was a time when you thought you were somebody. You thought you were awesome, great, wondrous, at least smarter than the average bear. The truth is, you're wrong. And it isn't just probable. It isn't just a possibility. It's a certainty, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Now, if the Bible's wrong, then you certainly made a mistake. So I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I believe this is the only word. I don't believe the Mohammedan word is a word from God. I don't believe the Jewish word is a word from God through Moses. I don't believe any other word anywhere. I certainly don't believe in Santa Claus. Nor do I believe in Jack and the Beanstalk. Though those books sound like they're certain. That's for little kids to imagine. But I somehow believe, and I don't know how. I don't know how I believe. I believe this book is the truth and the only truth. I don't believe there's any other book. Now, that's my personal decision, but I didn't make a personal decision. I'd have to say, I just heard it, and I don't know how, but I believe it. But I didn't believe it. Now I do. I didn't, and then I do. I can't explain it. But I know one thing. I didn't think it out. I know another thing. I didn't improve. So what God said is what I now believe. That's a miracle. For some reason, I now believe that Jesus is the cornerstone, that I'm building my whole life, my marriage, my church, my economic situation, my political views, everything I build on that foundation. And that foundation will overthrow Al-Qaeda. It will overthrow Hitler. It will overthrow anything this world has. It's my own belief, but it's based upon this word. It's an objective word. It isn't true because I believe it. I believe it because I believe it to be true. But it's not something that came through my brain, through my emotions, through my desires. it completely killed me. It completely destroyed all of my human will, desires, thoughts, pleasures. Everything had to go. How did that happen? Don't know. All I know is it happened. And it's just because I heard this word, didn't believe it, and one day I did. Verse 5, for unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what's man that you are mindful of him? In other words, what's Jim that you care about him? Or what's Sally? What's Alice? What's Bob? Or the Son of Man, Jesus, that you should visit him. Thou madest him, the Son of Man, a little lower than the angels. He was born like us, born to die, born of the flesh. He was God, but now suddenly he's also man and can die. And yet you crown him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands and has now put all things in subjection under his feet. So everything that's created, good and bad, is under his feet. In all subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. So anything that is under him. Remember Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has now been given to me. So that means you don't have any. President of the United States has none. Mayors have none. Nobody has any authority. The UN certainly has none. Jesus has all authority. But now we see not all things put under him. So we don't see that right now. You don't see that Jesus is ruling everything right now, but he is. You don't see him in all his glory right now, but he has it. God sees it. I see it by faith. I see it because it's written down here. And I totally believe that Jesus rules everything. And when I walk out of here, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid that a car hits me or the mafia drives by and shoots me. I don't really care. Or if Peggy kicks me, I don't really care. Because I believe everything's in subjection to Jesus, so if those awful things happen, let it happen. I'm really not emotionally, intellectually, or volitionally worried. I have no worry. Be not anxious. So if I drop dead right now, happy about it. If I live right now, happy about it. I really don't care. It's up to God. I don't even want to know what he's going to do. I'm not even interested to find out. I totally trust him. Why? Because of this book. The certainty of this book is greater than the security of this world. Most people want happiness. I don't. I want the truth, and the truth has set me free. And the truth is the certainty of this word. It's just a claim. God just simply said, these are my words. That doesn't make them so. The Rig Veda says it too. All kinds of holy books all over the world say it. You know, some monk in a orange saffron robe says it. I speak for God. Well, I don't believe any of those. This is the one I believe. And they say, oh, that's because you're cultural. You're born in America and you live in Texas. Yeehaw! Yes, that's true. Nevertheless, I used to be a cultural Christian, which meant I really wasn't a Christian at all. I believed that I wasn't a Buddhist. I believed that I wasn't something else. So I believed I was a Christian because everybody in America is kind of a Christian. But it's strictly cultural. Was it personal? Not at all. Did I still go for myself? Totally. Was I worried about heaven? Not. So it had no meaning to me at all. It's just the thing you said so people listen to you or whatever. And as I had something to say, if somebody said, well, what do you believe? Jesus, I guess. Really had no meaning. I was not in love with Jesus. I wouldn't have died for him, although if they had said, all right, everybody in the room that's a Christian, line up over here on the wall, we're going to shoot you. I'd have probably lined up just because I knew I wasn't a Buddhist. I said, does this go for Buddhists and Hindus? No, Christian only. Okay. Well, I'd line up, and then I'd be sitting there, and I'd be thinking, I wonder why I'm doing this, because I don't even have a personal relationship with the guy. I don't even know him, and I don't even know if this stuff is true. So that's the kind of Christian I was. I hope there's nobody here like that. But I knew I did not love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and I certainly didn't love my neighbor as myself. So I was a cultural Christian, which means I was completely lost. means I just happened to have parents that forced me to go to church at a certain point. And then I went to a Christian school, which didn't believe in God. Then I went to a seminary, which didn't believe in God. And then I came here.
Yeehaw!
There it is. That's the story of my life. I love it. Now it goes on. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. In other words, the reason he was made lower was so he could die. Angels don't. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Well, I assume every includes me, so I'm one of the ones he died for. So I believe that Jesus Christ, just like it says here, nothing fancy, nothing interesting, no clever interpretation. I believe everything that it says here is the truth. Now, I'm going to teach you a little Greek, because what I'm about to say is not clear in the English, but it's crystal clear in the original language. So let me get to the next verse, and then I'll read to you out of the Greek in verse 10. For it was becoming him, emprepen. Okay, what does that mean? That means insofar as Jesus was not Jesus, but he was under God's mission, and his nature now was no longer Jesus, Son of God, but his nature now was Jesus on a mission, under a trust, as a man. He could taste death. If he was the Son of God, you couldn't kill him. But he came as Son of God and became also Son of Man in order to taste death. So, eprepen means that it was necessary, or it behooved him, or it was part of his nature as a trustee of God, not being Jesus. In other words, he didn't die as Jesus. He died as you. When he died as you. And when he rose as you. So you rose. And when he ascended into heaven, that was you. You are now seated with Christ in heavenly places according to the book. According to this book, which I believe to be certain, according to that book, and I don't really care what you personally think about it, according to that book, but I personally believe that book. I believe that Jesus Christ is in heaven, and so am I. I believe that I'm right now in heaven. I'm in heaven. Does anybody else believe that? You don't have to. I do. I don't believe I'm here. I believe I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places now. Not that I will be someday. I don't care about seeing it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth later, we shall see him as he is. But right now, he who thus hopes is being purified. That's me. I believe right now I'm being purified. I don't believe that I will look like what I look like now later, but I believe I am right now what I'll look like later. So I don't really care what people think of me or what you imagine. You know, I'm under construction, so it appeareth. But in my eyes, I'm done. I am complete in him. I'm not going to become complete. I already am. It just hasn't shown up on earth, time and space. But in heaven, there is no time or space. So therefore, in the heart of God, it's already done. Therefore, for me, I'm already there. Because I'm a spiritual being. I'm no longer part of the old creation that's going to pass away. I'm no longer flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, I know I have some flesh and blood, but it's not me. Me is now what I am in the spirit. I am a spiritual being now. That in the Greek is pneumatikoi. Hoi pneumatikoi. So that's who we are. We are spiritual, a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. It's not coming. It's already come. So I'm already happy. I'm already celebrating. And I can live in this world without any thought about what I just did or what I thought or what I said or what you thought or what you said or what you felt or what you imagined. That is meaningless to me. I'm in heaven. Is anyone else in heaven? Well, that means I'm radiant. Because in heaven, you don't get the frown. In heaven, no one's depressed. In heaven, everybody likes everybody. So, why not start on earth? Why not start today? I mean, I don't have to, but on the other hand, I might want to. But on the other hand, even if I don't want to, I might really want to, because I don't care what I want, because I want what he wants, because I'm a new creation. So if, in fact, the old has passed away, then the old has passed away. And the new has come, then the new has come. So this scripture is very interesting, but I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about this next verse. This verse, 11, is so interesting. 10 says, "For it was becoming to him for whom are all things," Jesus, "and by whom are all things." So in other words, everything was created by him and for him. "Many sons," poulos, huios, eis doxan agagonta. "Many sons to glory he is bringing." So it was necessary for Jesus, for whom everything exists, it was necessary for him to be born flesh and blood like you, and yet to die. The reason he did that was so he could die for your sins. That was necessary. In order to bring me. Now, if you're part of that, that's great. But I'm not interested in you. I'm interested in me. I'm in. I don't know about you. I'm part of the new creation. I'm not going to ever perish or pass away. And it really doesn't matter what anyone thinks. I'm going on God's word. I'm going to rely on God not to be a liar. I'm going to rely on the certainty of God's word that says he loves me. I think he loves James also. But it really doesn't matter to me. Maybe James is a liar. Maybe he's a hypocrite, a phony. But if you sit on the second row, it's very hard. Because that's the spitting row. So, now, the reason he did all of that was to bring us to glory. I could never have gotten there. I would never have even wanted to get there. I was not interested in heaven. I was not seeking God. I never sought God. I never wanted God. Ever. I don't have any thought of that. I always sought myself. I always wanted me to be God. So I had no use for or need for God because I was God. Well, I knew I wasn't, but still, that's the way I acted. That's the way I behaved. So as far as I was concerned, God was a non-entity, a non-thing. He didn't exist. I never saw him. I never heard him. I never, had lunch with him. I didn't know about him. I know people said it was true, but I had no certain way of knowing that. I didn't find him in the chemistry lab. I didn't find him in the philosophy books. I didn't find Jesus anywhere. So I just thought that was a Western hang-up, kind of the medieval thing just still hung around. But as a modern person, and I was thoroughly modern, I didn't want to be irrelevant and believe in something that was already passé, already gone. Did you know we live in a post-Christian world? Your president is one of those. He can say what he wants, but he believes that Christianity is just one religion among many. That's post-Christian. Christians don't think that. That's not a Christian thought. Is all religions are equal? How ridiculous, according to the Bible. So you see, am I a relativist because I'm saying according to the Bible? No. I believe the truth. Pastor Jim, how can you say you believe the truth? What proof do you have? I don't want any. I just have the Bible. That's my proof right there. Well, I know, but can you prove that? To whom? To a probability person or a possibility person or a flesh and blood person? No, they're going to perish anyway. I'm not interested in them. I'm interested in me. All I want to know is personally, do I believe that? At one time I didn't. Now I did. I do. I always will. I'm never going to ever, I'm not, I will die before I will suffer anything, the loss of everything and anything. I'm not going to change. Did y'all see that? Have I sinned? Oh, yeah. I sin frequently. On the one-a-day plan, at least, I try to sin every day. I don't know if the rest of you keep that up or not. But you know what? I don't believe that. I believe that was my old man. I don't believe that was my new man. When I sin, it's just like a joke to me. It's like, I could do it in the most ungodly thing. And I have done a few of those. But I could do anything. I still believe Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, that's my certainty. Does that mean that I can do whatever I want and still get into heaven? I'm really not interested in the question. You all can wrestle with the question. All I know is I believe in Jesus. And I also know that I could probably do just about anything. I am so wild at times. And Peggy could testify. Peggy, testify. Okay. There you have it. And I could go bananas and berserk and, you know, crazy. But still, I'm a wonderful pastor. Which, of course, is a complete contradiction. But, you know what? I'm not interested in contradictions. I'm only interested in the Bible. The Bible says Jim is a new creation. I believe it. If anybody believes, well, I do. I happen to believe Jesus loves me. But why'd you do what you did? I don't know. You figure it out. I don't know how much time you want to waste on that. I personally am not. The Holy Spirit immediately convicts me when I do a sin. Peggy can tell you that too. As soon as I see the sin, I immediately confess, Jesus, that was stupid. That wasn't even me. Sorry about that. Take care of it. Thank you. Hallelujah. You see how I handle it? You see how I handle it? You would say, Pastor, you're so cheap. It was expensive for Jesus. It's cheap for me because I don't do stuff. So the reason I did that was because I'm completely passive. I'm completely, totally, 100% passive. How I got saved is completely, he was active, I was passive. Now let's read the scripture. Now I'll prove to you that that's all up to Jesus. And what he said is what he did. For both, verse 11, for both he that sanctifies, hagiazon. Hagiazon is a present active participle. Are there any grammarians in the classroom today? A present active participle, like jumping, the ing is a participle. So it's something that you are doing, okay? Jumping, running, going. Well, this one says, he who, it's masculine singular. And it's in the nominative, which means it's the subject of the sentence that governs the verb. So therefore it says, he who is continually sanctifying. And then it tells you who. And it says, and hoi agiazomenos. Agiazomenos means they who are being sanctified. That is a present passive participle. In other words, Jesus is in the active voice, we are in the passive. He who continually is sanctifying those who are continually being sanctified. You see the difference? He alone, singular, who is sanctifying continually, not just sanctifying once, but he still is sanctifying you. What does it say? It says this, both he who is continually sanctifying and them which are continually being sanctified are one. Why? Because what Jesus does is what I does. What Jesus did is what I did. Jesus is my life. He is my joy, my peace, my hope, my everything. That's the real me, the one that believes that Jesus is the one who is continually sanctifying and I am the one being continually sanctified. That's who we are. And Jesus will never again, when he goes back to heaven, he's taking me with him in his very being. He will never again be Jesus, God's son. He will now be Jesus, God's son, who's married to Jim, his wife. So I am now related to him, not by the original creation, natural, created on the left hand, but created on the right hand, which is God's special family, that is connected by relationship to Jesus as the bride of the bridegroom. And it's referring to all of us, anyone who believes. Now, if you believe, then both he, and this is a compound nominative, and it has a chi in it, which means and. So it's a coordinating conjunction which ties the two together. Both he who is continually justifying and they who are continually being justified are one. So that what? So that you aren't you anymore. You're now Peggy and me. We're married And because we're married, we're one. I don't care about the state. The state thinks Peggy's independent so she can, you know, get dough and stuff like that. But I don't believe that. I believe that Peggy and I are one before God. Coram Deo, before God, in the sight of God, we're one. In other words, her interests are my interests. Her sorrows are my sorrows. My joys are her joys. Whatever I do, when I bless her, I'm blessing me. So I believe that now we're one. I think you were testifying, Randy, of you and Paula being one. Amen. Amen. And so I believe, you know, Peggy's the perfect wife for me, and I'm the perfect wife to irritate her. I believe we're perfect. Did y'all see that? Now, so the fact that we don't look one has no meaning to me at all, because I don't care about this earth. I don't care about psychology. I don't care about behavior. I don't care about philosophy. I don't care about anything in this world. I only care about one thing. God said, you're mine, and we're one. Yeah, good enough for me. Now, what he means by that is Peggy also believes, as I believe, that her interests are not her interests. Jesus took them up. He paid for that. Now, does she feel it? Ugh, that's ridiculous. Who cares if she feels it? Does she understand it? That's nonsense. So she has such a pea brain. How could she understand that? She married me. So I don't really care what she desires or what she wants or what she thinks or what she feels or what she imagines or what she does. I don't care. The issue is, does the Bible say that? That's all. Does God lie? Has God written that book? And by the way, nobody can prove this. I'm just stating it. It's my testimony. I believe this Bible is the truth. And I'm willing to die for it. And I can't include anybody else, including Peggy. I can't include her in that. If she does, she does. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But we are all one with him if we believe. Now, the if is not you active. It's you passive. So if I believe, I can't say, I believed. One day I just decided I was going to believe, and I did. I took the plunge. Oh, believe. No, I didn't make any decision at all. As soon as I heard it, one day I didn't believe. Another day I didn't believe. Another day I didn't believe. Years I didn't believe. Almost decades I didn't believe. And then one day I just did. I can't explain it. I don't really care about it. But just one day I believed. All of a sudden I knew that I knew that I knew. Now I remember exactly the day and the hour. I know exactly where I was. I know what I thought. And I remember exactly what took place. I'll never forget it. Because on that moment and that day, I fell in love with Jesus Christ. As my personal Lord and Savior, I suddenly believed there was a God who existed and never did before. I believed about him, but I never believed him. I never had a personal, intimate love affair relationship with Jesus. That day I did. And from that day, now this is nobody else's testimony. Mine is, I have never, ever lost my first love. It's never waned. You know, I never thought, oh, I wish I could go back into the world and, you know, go to the mall again. I never did. The closest I got was I still wanted to play golf. That was the closest I got. Jesus. I want Jesus, but I also want to be able to play golf. But last week I fell off the stage and broke my shoulder again. And so now my rotator cuff isn't rotating. And so I probably won't be able to play golf for the rest of my life. But I think in heaven there will be a little golf course there, along with my model railroad train set that I chopped up with an axe one day to prove that I was a great Christian. But thank God I have photographs of it. I show him. Does he? Do I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength? I don't really care, because I'm not a psychological person like the rest of you. I don't care about that. If Jesus said it, that's the end of it. If he said you're in, you're in. If he said you're out, you're out. But I know this, that the way to get in is just to listen to it, and you don't have to believe it, but if you do, you do. It's a possibility that there is a God. It's a possibility that Jesus did die for you. But there it says, this is a certainty, and they do not use, probably Jesus died for you. Are you aware of that? That's the way scientists talk. Probably Einstein was wrong in the year 1900 when he came up with his theory of relativity, because Newton was dominating the physics of the day. And the Newtonian physics dominated. But it was a possibility he could be right, but not a probability. But that's as high as man can go. But after Einstein proved his theory by writing on a blackboard, had a whole bunch of, you know, symbols and numbers, which all went equal, 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 till he got down to the bottom, and it still equaled. When he did that, he proved his theory, and everybody now believed that a possibility was actually a probability. That's as high as man can get. You know what? Even after you have a probability, it's nothing, because it doesn't make it a certainty. A probability of man never becomes a certainty with God. But everything in the Bible is a certainty. It's stated, whether you believe it or not. It's just stated. If you want to believe it, you may. It's possible, but it's not probable. If you don't want to believe it, that's okay too, because it's a certainty. And I am in on that. I totally believe that what is said in the Bible is absolutely true, and it affects my marriage, it affects everything I do, the food I eat, how many hours I sleep, and how many platforms I fall off of. It affects it all. So I praise God for falling off of platforms. I love it. What happened was, I don't know what I was doing, but I was reading something or doing something, and I didn't notice that there was one more step. And so I thought I was on the bottom when I hit this step here, and then there wasn't, so I went down further, boing. And isn't that fun? Now you're either dead or you're alive, and I'm still alive, so praise God. That means I can carry on. Crippled, but I will carry on. Wounded, because this is golf season. How many believe I did a sin? Well, that's why I fell off that platform. How many do? I mean, just the first thought in your mind was, I wonder what Pastor Jim did to deserve that. Because he's a fine fellow, but he probably did something wrong. I don't believe that, because I'm always sinning. So if that was the case, I'd be falling all the time. I believe what it is it's an opportunity for God to prove himself a miracle worker with signs and wonders and whatever else. But you know what? I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not anything. I just trust Jesus. And so Jesus, he can do, and I've asked him to do it, and I've even said, you know, look, whatever you want to do, that's mine. And I want that, because I want to play golf, and you know it. Which is a certainty with me. That's no probability. But if I never play again, praise God. It's nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to me, because nothing means anything to me except his word. So therefore, I really don't care. I'm done. Besides, I'm 70 and a half, and I'm on Social Security. I got it made. The government will take care of me. I have full faith in the government of the United States. I do. No, I do not, and I don't care. I don't care if I'm poverty-stricken, if everybody abandons me, and I'm sick as a dog. I don't really care. Why? Because I believe Jesus. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. He said all my diseases and all my everything, he'd take care of it. I don't even have to think about it. Even before I ask, I know he's already going to answer. Because the best always happens to me. Is anybody else like that? I mean, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I love the Lord, so all things are working for the good. But I don't need to see it to believe it. Even if I didn't see, if I saw the opposite, I would still believe it was working out for my good. So I would say that, and it has nothing to do with what people are thinking, that everything's going my way. Isn't that fun? That's what certainty does. Certainty is not built on possibility and probability. Certainty is not built upon this world and its thinking. I am in no doubt whatsoever who I am because of who he is. Because of who he is, that's my bridegroom, and I'm his bride. Not alone, because There's a whole bunch of others that also are part of that bride. Just said so right there. Use the plural, masculine plural. So he who is continually sanctifying and those who are continually being sanctified, plural, are the same nominative, nominative, subject of the sentence governing the verb. So what is the verb? What is it that's being said here? Now listen, since we are one, Jesus, whatever he does, I does. Whatever he says, I says. Wherever he is, I is. For both he who sanctifies and those sanctified of him are, there's a verb, all one, ex enos pantes, for which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren, adelphoi. So, we are the brethren of Jesus, but we're also the bride. I believe that you and I are a perfect bride. No one can go to heaven unless you're perfect. And I, because of that, I believe that when we appear, even though it doth not yet appear, I believe that when we appear at the end of the aisle, as we approach the throne of God, I believe that my perfection and my glory will be obvious and seen. As soon as the trumpet blows and the Lord returns, I believe that the first thing he'll do is come to Fort Worth and get me. That's what I believe. I don't know about the rest of you. If you can say, yeehaw, he might come for you too. But you have to be excited. You know, no one in heaven is going to be miserable. Nope. We won't have any sad people in heaven. What's wrong with starting now? Why shouldn't we begin now to live a holy and a happy life here every minute of every second of the day? I have a perfect marriage. I have a perfect church. I have everything going my way. I don't want anything more. I have everything. Did you know that with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things? If I have everything, then I have everything. So I'm never in worry, never in doubt, never in fear that something's going to go wrong. How are you? Where does your certainty come from? The Word of God. The Word of God, which is objective outside of you. It isn't that you believe it that counts. I don't care if you believe it or don't believe it. It's there. It is said. It is spoken. It is asserted. And I personally am testifying. I believe it. I believe it totally. In other words, I'm not pretending like I love Peggy. I love her. I'm not pretending. I could ask this question. Peggy, if there was a choice between me dying and you dying, which one would you prefer? Now, that don't lie. You know you cannot lie. I do. She wants me to die. Can you believe that? She would rather she live and me die. But thank God, even though she's a perfect wife, there are others in this church that would prefer to die instead of me so I could live and carry on my ministry. Could I see a show of hands? Oh, glory. Now, I believe the best is yet to come. I don't believe the bad guys are going to win. I don't think bad guys are permanent. I don't believe that this world is a veil of woe and tears, even though there are woes and tears. I believe everything's going our way. And I believe that God isn't done yet, and that I don't care what I do. I have no dreams of grandeur or something. But I also believe that anything God tells me to do, I will do it. And it will be perfect, meaning he will use it as he intended. Therefore, I wouldn't shy away from any job, whatever it is, but it has to be Jesus. So right now, I'm right here. This is where I intend to die. But he always can preempt. He can at any time say, Jim, I want you to go into the jungles of Africa. I'll go. But I don't want to. I would rather stay right here. I'd rather be right here stay right here in Texas. When the East Coast blows up and the West Coast blows up, I want to be here. I don't know about y'all. And I have an idea where he might start, on the West Coast. But anyway. But, you know, if you get shot by God, it isn't because of sin. Otherwise, we'd all be dead. The wages of sin are death. I think the whole issue is that God has an agenda and it will not fail. Because it's certain. It is absolutely certain. And so I believe that we have more commitment to do what God wants here than they do in a lot of other places. Now, that doesn't mean there's individuals in New York or California or wherever. There are. And there are probably even churches just like ours. But it seems to me that God, and this is not a certainty, but it's what I live. I believe this, but I don't care that I'm right because it's not in the Bible. It seems to me that God is doing something special in this area, and that's why I stay. That God wants to ready us for the sake of the rest of the nation and the sake of the rest of the world. That our prayers go forth and that our missions go forth and whatever we do right here locally. For example, I work with about a dozen, actually many more than that, but regularly with a dozen black churches in the city and black pastors of those churches because I think God wants to do something. And the reason I do that is because other people are not doing it. But I believe something good could and should happen. And so, it's one of the things I do. And everything else that I do is because I believe God has directed me to do it, and I believe it'll succeed. But those things are done because of God revealing himself as my husband, I being part of his wife, that we should get together now instead of waiting. Why go to Africa when we can start right here? Why go to China? Why go to Russia? Why go to Israel? Why go anywhere in the world? The only reason I've ever gone in the world is because God directed me to do it. But the only reason I've ever gone is I've always gone to the most troublous spots to prove that what the media is telling you is not true. And what the Bible says is true. So if somebody says, you can't find Christians in a Muslim land, I want to go. And I have. Just to prove, I don't believe it. I believe that the harvest is ripe, and that means it's ripe. And if I get killed, no problem. But I want to go and see for myself whether Jesus is lifted up in places where it looks like he couldn't be. 25 years ago, I went to Nigeria, which was a two-thirds Muslim nation, had tried to kill off the eastern part of what they called Biafra. And that was way back in the 50s and 60s. They wanted to kill off all the Christians because they didn't want them to have the power, especially with the oil. And I have now four sons, and their chief, he made me their daddy. They live here in the United States, but they're Nigerian sons. And I believe that today, two-thirds of that country is not Muslim, but two-thirds of it's Christian, and only one-third Muslim up in the north. And so I went across the equator to various countries to see for myself. David, you've gone on the equator with me. Uganda. Yeah. I've taken various peoples with me to see the same thing I've seen, which is everywhere where the Muslims dominated today, they are on retreat. And everywhere where Christians were weak today, they are in power. Just the opposite. Is it in the newspaper? Never. Is that my car? Because I was about to judge somebody. But before I did, I had to think, maybe it's my car. Sometimes I reach in my pockets, I probably hit something. All right, God is good. You are being sanctified continuously. You're not done yet. How many know you're not perfected yet? You are still being under construction, perfected by Jesus. He who sanctifies, agion son, hagiazon, you are being justified, sanctified right now, and you are the ones that are receiving it from him who does the sanctifying of that. And you're one. Whatever he does, you does. You are and he are one, bride and bridegroom, head and body, whatever. There's lots of vine and branch. All of those terms say the same thing, that there's an intimacy between you and the Lord Jesus. That's the new creation. We are not just born by God, but born out of God, made ek tu theou, out of God. That's powerful. So that gives me joy unspeakable. I will never doubt again. I don't doubt. I don't have even psychological doubts. So what I'm telling you is, I believe that everything in the Bible is true. I don't have to study it and read it to prove it. But I do study it and read it because I believe it to be certain. And it works. The amazing thing is it works. So, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Who else is such a person? Barbara? Who else? Paula? Randy? Judy? Nick? John? Yes. It's good. The best has been saved to the last. We are not watching history be made. We are making history happen. Why? Because it's God's will. It's God's will. God does not want the wicked to prevail. He wants his church to prevail. Are you worthy? Yes, because of Jesus. You are worthy. Say it, I am worthy. No, you're not worthy psychologically or even physically. You're worthy spiritually because that's what Jesus said. He promised, he swore. If he lies, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But if he cannot lie, then everyone else is in trouble. Because he's about to do some great and awesome things because it looks like it's going the other direction, but all of a sudden it could turn around. What if he's just testing us? Wouldn't that be interesting? What if all he's doing is testing us to see whether you're going to read the newspaper and believe that, which is nothing. I don't believe anything this world says. I don't believe one thing because all they have is uncertainty. They don't know one thing about anything. I don't care what you think they know. They don't know it. It's relative. Everything they know is relative to something, but it's not relative to God. So is man the measure of all things or is God the measure of all things? For me and my house, God is the measure of all things. God bless you all.